welcome to Keeping It Real, the Gorham Homestead podcast, where we talk about real food, real natural living, the real art of natural healing, and real life out here on our Tennessee homestead. I'm your host, Dawn Gorham, and today is Monday, January the 22nd, and you are listening to, January 22nd, 2024, and you're listening to episode number seven. And our topic today is just getting started with real food. So this week, we have been snowmageddon hell, literally. And I don't mean to be saying swear words, but this has been a really challenging week. But it's given me some opportunity to really look at my pantry. And, you know, we cook from scratch anyway, so pretty much everything that we've cooked this week has been single ingredient foods. I made a homemade pizza this week, and last night we had tenderloin, and we've eaten a lot of sauerkraut and pickles and things like that on the side. And so I was really thinking about that and thinking about my pantry and the journey, goodness, the journey that we have been on for the last 15 years, and we're still on it. I mean, we're still, you know, a long, long way from perfection. But I thought it would be a really good opportunity just to talk to you if you're just getting started, trying to go down the natural living path and trying to figure out what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat as far as if you're trying to be in the real food space. So I thought I would share with you like the first three things that we did, and so and the reasons why we did them, and what we changed, what we kicked out of the pantry, and what we changed to. And so just gonna get started with that. But first, I really want you to think about the last 50 years. So they have presented us, the commercial food industry has presented us with all of this stuff that was supposed to make us healthier, was supposed to make us more resilient, was supposed to increase our longevity and our vitality. Meanwhile, us as a society have gotten fatter and more sicker. I mean, just flat out, we've just gotten fatter and sicker. And the number of inflammation based issues and chronic and autoimmune and all of that stuff used to be kind of unheard of. Like cancers in children used to be really, really rare. I mean, I know that it happened, but it was really rare. And now you see it everywhere. People with all of these autoimmune diseases used to be just completely unheard of. And now it's rampant. Like almost like one in three people has some sort of autoimmune disease. And the only thing that we can really attribute that to is the decrease in our nutrient density and quality of our food. So what can we do about it? Well, I've got my notes over here. Got to move them over here where I can see them. One of the very first things that I recommend when somebody comes to me and starts talking to me about what they can do to better their diet, of course, the obvious place to start is to kick the processed foods out. And when I say processed foods, I mean anything that comes in a box. Macaroni and cheese, hamburger helper, frozen chicken wings, whatever it is. Anything that comes in a box more than likely is loaded with chemicals and ingredients that are not meant to be in the human body. So that's the very first thing that you can do. Shop the outer aisles of the grocery store. And we hear this all the time. Shop the outer aisles because all the crap is in the middle. So your vegetables, your meats, your cheeses, your eggs, you know, all of that stuff is on the outer aisles. And pretty much that's where you need to be setting up camp. Stay out of the center aisle. Stay away from the chips. Stay away from the Pepsi products, Cokes, any of that stuff. Stay away from, excuse me, juices. Bread that is in the grocery store. That stuff is just loaded with all kinds of preservative stuff to make it last longer on the shelf. And that's not good for you. Make your bread at home. It's not that hard. Or find somebody else that makes bread that, you know, you'd like to buy from them if you don't want to do it. So that's where I would start. That's where we started. You know, we still go out to eat. It's not that we never go out to eat because we travel sometimes. But we, for the most part, avoid drive-thrus. So if we have to go out and eat somewhere on the good, better, best sliding scale, it's not as good as eating at home because you're still getting, you know, some ingredients that would be less than ideal that you wouldn't cook with. But it's still better than what you're getting in a fast food line. So if you're out, just go to a sit-down restaurant rather than McDonald's. So that's my first suggestion. And you can take it with a grain of salt. You can do with this information what you wish. Again, this is just what we did for our family, and we're still on the journey. The number two thing that I would do and that we did, which was really easy, it was probably the easiest thing to do, was just to get rid of the fats that I was cooking with that are terrible for you. I threw away the Crisco, threw away the Wesson oil, threw away the, you know, any vegetable oils, seed oils, you know, any of that stuff, and replaced it with good old-fashioned butter, preferably grass-fed butter. But if you can't get grass-fed, at least just get real butter. And olive oil and avocado oil and lard. I render my own lard, and so I use that. It makes the best flaky pie crust you ever put in your mouth. And then bacon grease. So I season things that need a little bacon flavor, in my, you know, green beans or my peas or stuff like that. I'll just throw in a little bacon grease. I use it to keep my pans, my iron skillet seasoned. And it's really, really good for that. So that's the number two thing that I would do. And speaking of butter, one of the greatest things about butter is that it is one of our only sources that I know of arachidonic acid, which our brain really, really needs to function properly. And it also is loaded with K2. And K2, what it does is to direct calcium in your blood, in your body, to where it needs to go. It's, think of it like the director. It's a little traffic director. It tells this one to go this way, this one to go this way. So it directs it into your teeth, into your bones, into your hair, into, you know, places that you need to have calcium, and out of your bloodstream and away from, you know, the arteries and your heart and all that kind of stuff. So arachidonic acid and vitamin K2 are two of the greatest benefits that you get from butter. But what did they do? They wanted to sell you margarine. So they demonized butter. Because how does the industrial food industry sell you something? By overcoming your objections. The way to overcome your objection is to make you afraid of something, is to sell you on its convenience, sell you on it's better than what you have. It is a more, you know, you don't want to hurt your family. Oh my goodness, you don't want your husband to die of a heart attack, do you? Well, we're the ones in the kitchen, and so they played on our emotions. And that's how they got an entire nation or entire world to believe that margarine, which is pretty much akin to plastic, it has a lot of the same makeup as plastic. That's how they got us to believe that it was good for us. And it's not. It's terrible for you. Butter is good for you. They did the same thing with eggs. So they came out with this product, put it on the shelves, you know, this whatever it was, I don't even remember. It was something in a box that you could use in substitute for eggs. And they told us eggs were bad. All of a sudden, eggs were awful. And they tried to sell it to us. And then finally, when they realized that it, you know, people weren't buying that, like they bought the whole margarine thing, they finally flip-flopped back and all of a sudden, oh yeah, eggs are good for you now. They were good for you all along. They were just trying to sell you something. And you really have to look deep into that. It's the same thing with cereal. They try to convince people that this brand cereal and all of this Rice Krispies and all that stuff is good. It's terrible. It's the number one thing loaded with pesticides. And yet we're feeding it to our children. And that's one of the other things that we did. We kicked all the commercial cereal. I do buy some organic cereal every now and then just because my son will protest for it. But I will not buy him the mainstream regular cereal. But for the most part, for our cereal, we opt for oatmeal with butter and cream. And, you know, it's loaded. Sometimes we'll put some real maple syrup in it. And that's what we use as our replacement for that morning cereal. But think about that, too. Who came up with the whole breakfast is the most important meal of the day? Kellogg. Why? Because he had something to sell you. And, you know, over time, we've kind of realized, you know, with the advent of intermittent fasting and people realizing how good that is for their health, that breakfast really is not the most important meal of the day. Our ancestors, back before the 50s, you know, before the turn of the century, they didn't eat breakfast. They, a lot of times, would fast and did not have a meal until 2 or 3 o'clock. And a lot of times, that was their only meal. And then they had time to burn that off before they went to bed. So just kind of always keep in mind when you see commercials for something and it's trying to make you think that their thing that they created in the lab is better than the thing that nature and God created, that divine creation of the original thing. You really need to dig into that. Really need to dig deep, because our rule of thumb is, if God created it, it's good. If, of course, there's exceptions to that. We won't eat, you know, deadly mushrooms or anything. But for the most part, it's sort of a good rule of thumb. If it was created in a lab, not so much. You know, the drug dealers have been saying that for years. The people who would do, you know, the proponents of marijuana would always say, if it grows, it's good. If it's in a lab, it's not. So maybe there was something to that. I don't know. The next thing that we did after cutting out all of the fats, the bad fats, because your body needs fat. Do you realize that whole low-fat craze that we went through back in the 80s where people were eating gummy bears? My mother kept a bag of gummy bears under the seat in her car because she thought that was better for her than a bag of pork rinds. Unfortunately, people's hair was falling out. There was a lot of mental illness popping up during that time, because our brain needs it. Our bodies need fat. We need that to operate. And so thank God we finally came around and saw the terrible effects that low fat diets were having on people. And, you know, finally got some sense into us. And the majority of society now realizes that low fat and vegan and all of that stuff is not a healthy way to live your life. You do not get the nutrients that nature intended for you to get when you live that way. Totally your choice. Up to you. That's the beauty of freedom. You live it how you want to. But it's not good for you. So the third thing that we did was to fix our sugars, our sweeteners. And so I got rid of the refined white sugar and the aspartame, you know, all of those equal sweet and lows, all of that kind of stuff, kind of kicked all that to the curb and replaced it with honey, sucanat, real maple syrup from tapped trees, and I do sometimes use raw sugar, but That's only in moderation, and it's only if I have to have, if something calls for white sugar in a recipe, that's what I will use raw sugar for. I have a hard time substituting honey. I haven't found a way to really make honey taste the way that I want it to in recipes, so I haven't done that a whole lot. I do use a lot of sucanat. It's more like a brown sugar. It has all of the vitamins and minerals that the molasses that's in the original sugar has. And so at least if you're going to have some sort of sweetener, don't use just a stripped white sugar that has absolutely zero nutritional value. At least substitute that for something like sucanat that is not only sweet, but also is loaded with other vitamin and minerals. So at least you're getting something beneficial from it. We also use blackstrap molasses. That is a staple in our kitchen. I keep a lot of that. That makes really good cookies. And that's pretty much it as far as sweeteners go for me. I use sucanat, raw sugar, honey, maple syrup, and blackstrap molasses. That's my five go-tos. So I guess as far as, you know, I just wanted to give you three things to start with. And I really wanted to give you something to chew on as far as thinking about why they have told you, you know, the commercial food industry, why they have said the things that they have said over the last so many years. And again, it's because they've made consumers out of us and taken away our ability and our desire to be producers. They have sold us the idea of convenience, sold us the idea of, you know, things being better for our family because they want it to be, because they're marketing it to you that way. And hopefully, you know, and they've taken away that local aspect. Oh, raw milk. I was going to talk about raw milk. How did I miss that? I always talk about raw milk. Let's back up a little bit. Raw milk. It is one of the best things that you can do. You know, if you're going to change your fats and find a source for raw milk, that is the first and second thing that I would do. That's what I would suggest to anybody and everybody. When they talk about the sugar in raw milk and how it's, or sugar in milk and how it's not good for you because it will make you fat because it's loaded with sugar, they are really confusing that with commercial milk, the milk that is on the grocery store shelves. That milk is absolutely loaded with sugar, with lactose that is not digested by the bacteria. When you get raw milk from a farmer, it is not devoid of the natural bacteria. That same as it would be with a mother's breast milk. It has bacteria, it has antibodies, it has all of that stuff. So does fresh cow's milk. And so does yogurt, and so does sauerkraut, and so does anything that's lacto-fermented, sourdough. All of that stuff has good bacteria in it, the same as raw milk. Well, the bacteria in the raw milk consume the majority of the sugar, the lactose. And so by the time that you drink it, you know, it sits for a day or whatever, and you drink it, you're not getting as much sugar as you would think. It is very much consumed by those healthy bacteria, and what you're getting is just a healthy dose of a living food. There is a reason why the Bible talks about the land flowing with milk and honey, because those are two known things to be vital and crucial to our survival and to our longevity, to our good health and our good fortune and all of those things. So I would suggest you have lots of milk and honey, you know, in your cupboards, in your fridge. But, you know, if you have, they're trying to scare you to death and tell you that raw milk will kill you. That, you know, it's gonna, you're gonna get some crazy awful disease that's gonna just kill you and put your children in the hospital. And what? That's just so bull. So bull. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning about 10 times in one lifetime than you do of getting sick from raw milk. That is statistically a fact. However, milk from cows that is commercial, intended for commercial use, those cows, you can get stuff from that. That milk absolutely needs to be pasteurized. Because they dump it into a vat. That vat gets pumped into a tanker truck. That truck trucks that across the country. And all the while, all these little good and bad bacterias are sitting in there and they're just growing and gelling and whatever they're doing. That's disgusting. I would never drink raw milk that was intended for commercial use, ever. However, people like me who produce raw milk for the purpose of straight-to-the-jar human consumption, we treat our milk completely different. The process is completely different than anything that they do at a commercial dairy. We take the utmost care to make sure that those udders are clean. We make sure that the cows do not have mastitis. We make sure that from the time that we milk it into that machine or into that bucket to the time that it goes in the jar for the customer, that every aspect of that process is clean. That's what the difference is. Cow milk directly from a cow is absolutely safe, and it is absolutely phenomenal for your health. That's just one of the things that I can't stress enough that I recommend that you do for your health and for the health of your family. So that being said, I wanted to back up to another thing as to why all of that pasteurization and all that stuff came into play so many, many, many years ago is because the cows were being kept in filthy conditions in cities. Now, being cooped not on pasture, in cities. And they were feeding those cows mash from the local brewery, not hay, not pasture, not sunshine, not anything. And it's no wonder that those cows got super sick, as well as the children who drank that milk who died. So, kind of always take a minute to look at the backstory, so that you know kind of why things happen the way that they did. The whole thing about pasteurization is that, you know, we learned about proteins and amino acids in high school, right? And the whole deal with proteins and amino acids is that they're lock and key. And they fit together, and then they do their thing, and then they go on and they make energy. So, if a protein is heated to the point that pasteurization does, and now it's not just regular pasteurization, it's ultra heat pasteurization, which means they have jacked that temperature way on up there, which means the heat changes the shape of the protein. It no longer fits lock and key with an amino acid when you consume it. Your body doesn't know what to do with it. It freaks out. It causes all kind of digestive issues. A lot of people who believe that they are lactose intolerant are actually pasteurized milk intolerant. And I can attest to that because some of those people are my customers. They can drink my raw milk just fine because it is natural. It has not been changed. It has not been heated. There's nothing been done to that milk, yet they cannot drink store-bought milk, store-bought ice cream, any of that stuff. So just know that if you think that you're lactose intolerant, you might not be. Kind of take the time to investigate that a little bit further and see if it's just the pasteurization that bothers you. Because it does, a lot of people. It's so not good for you. I would never recommend anybody drink pasteurized milk at all. Ever. It's terrible for you. So, for the next couple Mondays, I am just going to take you through the transformation as we went through it. You can take from it what you want. If you don't want to do anything that I say, that's totally fine. If you want to try to do everything that I say, examine your cupboards and, you know, replace the stuff and all, you know, all of that stuff, then you're certainly welcome to do that too. I just wanted to give you a place to start, because getting into natural living is overwhelming. Like, there's so many aspects and facets to it that it can be so much, and you don't have to do it all at once. You can't do it all at once. If you try to do it all at once, you will fail. And that's setting yourself up for a situation that you don't want to be in, because you'll just fall right back into driving through the fast food line at McDonald's. So just don't do that. Just take it easy. Just take it one thing at a time. Like I said, the easiest thing that you can possibly do is get rid of the Crisco, get rid of the Wesson oil, and fix your fats. You will be amazed at how much doing that one simple thing will make you feel better. Because your brain will react. Your body will react. You will feel, you will sleep better. You will wake up better. Your joints will feel better during the day. Your focus will be better. Your memory will be better. Everything will be better. It's not going to be perfect, because nothing ever is, but you will feel a noticeable difference. So if anything else, if you take anything else from what I've said, start with the fats. With that, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's topic. I know it feels like a lot. So if you like the podcast, though, it would be really great if you could subscribe and leave me a review. It does help other people to find my podcast. You can find me at just thegorhamhomestead.com and on all the socials at just thegorhamhomestead. Whatever you're doing today, especially if you're buying food, just remember, y'all, keep it real. See y'all. My daddy was a guitar picker, playing all the local clubs. And my mama was a waitress where they parked and maintained wheeler trucks. So we didn't have much money, times were kinda hard. Living in a trailer on the edge of Grandpa's farm.